Today on your Healthiest Healthy podcast with Samantha Harris.
The average American is losing out on 12 to 14 years of life expectancy because of our lifestyle. If you want to live longer, you need to adopt the right habits and avoid the wrong ones for not just a few months, but for decades or a lifetime. Probably the best way to recapture those years is to focus on our diet. The easiest thing to do. Blue zones are five areas around the world where people live statistically longest.
Hey everyone, it's Samantha Harris. I'm an Emmy-winning journalist and TV host from shows like Dancing with the Stars and Entertainment Tonight. But a breast cancer diagnosis at age 40 changed everything. The wake-up call I didn't realize I needed. Now, a certified health coach and the author of a number one best-selling wellness book, I'm fiercely dedicated to guiding you to elevate your well-being in ways you may not have realized you could or even should. Don't worry, it's with small, manageable steps to mitigate chronic disease and live vibrantly with unparalleled energy. This is your Healthiest Healthy podcast. Hello, 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 everybody in the Your Healthiest Healthy community. All right, so how many of you guys want to live to be 100, but full of life, full of vigor and energy? Well, our next guest expert is going to share tips exactly on how to do just that. Dan Buettner is a National Geographic Fellow. He's a three-time New York Times best-selling author. He's also an explorer, an award-winning journalist and producer, and he has discovered the five places in the world dubbed the Blue Zones, where people live the longest, the healthiest lives. And these are the areas of the world where many live past 100, still vibrant, still able-bodied, and still sound of mind, right? With so much dementia in the world, we want to be sound of mind. And he has a new book out, The Blue Zones Kitchen, 100 Recipes for Living to 100. It's already, of course, a New York Times bestseller. And not to be a total overachiever, but Dan also holds three Guinness World Records in distance cycling. So Dan, I'm super happy to have you be a part of the Your Healthiest Healthy membership community and to have you live on Facebook, I mean, and also live on Instagram today.
You know, I want to record that introduction and just listen to it every morning.
We can do that afterwards. I'm all for it. Look, as long as you keep giving me tips on how to live a healthy life that I can live 100. All right. It is a deal. All right. So let's just jump right in, because a lot of people, obviously your followers, are very familiar with what the Blue Zones are. And some of the members of your Healthiest Healthy community have heard me talk in a lot of my coaching sessions about the Blue Zones. But I want to hear it from the man himself. What are the Blue Zones?
Blue Zones are five areas around the world where people live statistically longest. They either have the highest centenarian rate or the highest life expectancy at middle age. And the term is extended a little bit to also include the lifestyle that these places embrace that explains their extraordinary longevity. So It's kind of a way of life. There's a Blue Zone diet, for example. Blue Zone projects where we work for entire cities to help lower the obesity rate of entire cities, which has been very successful. So,
right. And it's incredible too, because you talk a lot about, it's not about, on the one hand, it is about habit change and lifestyle choices, but the easier thing, which is what you do with the Blue Zones when you're implementing them in different city projects, is to create an environment where it's the easier choice, right?
That's right. At the end of the day, if you look at the success rate of diets or exercise programs or even supplement regimens, They often work for a few months. They're fueled by hope. They're fueled by early discipline and tension, but they almost all run out of gas within 7 or 8 months. And the bottom line is, if you want to live longer, you need to adopt the right habits and avoid the wrong ones for not just a few months, but for decades or a lifetime. Mm-hmm. If you really expect to live longer. Right. And in these Blue Zones, you know, by the way, just to go back a little bit, the Blue Zones are Okinawa, Japan, longest lived women in the world, Sardinia, Italy, highest concentration of male centenarians in the world, Nicoya, Costa Rica, where you have a relatively poor population that is living about 3 years longer than we are without chronic disease, You have the Seventh-day Adventists in the United States that live up to 7 years longer than the average American. And then we found an island in Greece called Ikaria, where people are living about 7 years longer, but experiencing almost no dementia. And dementia is on a lot of people's minds these days, especially as our parents get older, et cetera. Here's a place that they have same genetic randomness that you and I do and everybody listening right here, but maybe 1/10 the rate of dementia that we have in the United States. So there's something going on in these places, Samantha, that we ought to be paying attention to.
There is, and it's such an important thing. And the fact that you have studied this for really so long now and come up with, you know, it should be just sort of the you know, we look at our standard American diet, right? The SAD diet, and we know it's a diet of nutrient deficient non-foods and manufactured foods and fast food. I think I heard it from you that there are like six fast food restaurants within a half mile of basically every American. I remember, because you're in Minnesota, my hometown, and I remember being at the Mall of America this summer, and I hit that wall where I was just starving and I had to get something to eat. And I walked out of the store we were shopping, and within, you know, just a scan of both directions, called Mall America, humongous mall, right? The biggest one in America. And within the scan, it was like a donut place, an ice cream place, you know, the pretzel one, the all. And I said to my sister, take the kids, keep shopping. I've got to go on a hunt. And I literally, and I posted about this because I was so frustrated and almost angered that I had to walk pretty much in the Mall of America, right? People go there to actually do laps because it's, I don't know, a mile around, however far. And I had to keep walking until I finally found my way to a food court where I found a Mexican restaurant and I could get beans and veggies and lettuce and make myself a plant-based meal that wasn't junk. So what are these attributes that each of the Blue Zones have in common that we can aim to add into our daily lives if we don't do them already in order to live longer, in order to live healthier?
Yeah, well, there are some subtle, we call them power nine or subtle themes we see across all Blue Zones. And then there's one overarching theme. First of all, they're eating mostly a whole food, plant-based diet. So they're eating peasant food. The Blue Zone Kitchen, which you reference, and Blue Zone Solution is really about not only what, but how they eat. And it's a very high carbohydrate diet, which shocks people, but it's not the simple carbohydrates like jelly beans. It's the complex carbohydrates like black beans and pinto beans and garbanzo beans. And the five pillars of every longevity diet in the world are whole grains, corn, wheat, and rice. Tubers like sweet potatoes and regular potatoes, greens of all sorts. And in these Blue Zones, you sometimes see 70 or 80 varieties of greens, kind of stuff we often weed whack. They know how to make beautiful salads and pies out of.
So you were talking about the nine, your nine pillars, which are really, we're again, trying to figure out. So we have a couple of different things. There are the multiple areas of what the Blue Zones have in common, which I absolutely want to talk about today. And then there's really getting to the nitty gritty on the food. So right now you were talking about the food.
Yes. So in addition to nuts, the cornerstone of every longevity diet in the world is beans. If you're eating about a cup of beans a day, it's probably adding 4 years to your life expectancy. And I'm not a big believer in superfoods, but I think the healthiest food in the world actually is beans. And the reason is it's full fiber. We're now realizing how important our microbiome is to our health. We've largely overlooked it for most of the last 60 years. And the last 2 years, we're seeing that that 8-pound virtual organ at the end of our digestive tract plays a much bigger role in our mood, our inflammation, and our immunity than ever thought. And the only thing that microbiome eats is fiber. And we've gotten enough of that. Beans are a great source of fiber. It's a great source of protein. It doesn't have the hormones, the pesticides, the cruelty, the saturated fat. It's just a perfect replacement for meat and solves a lot of other bigger issues that transcend Blue Zones.
And I love that you mentioned the fiber issue because, you know, the average American woman gets about 12 grams of fiber per day, men just a little bit more. The USDA you know, we, on the one hand, we want to believe that the USDA has our back, but we see what that food pyramid was and then the food plate, and those are all bad. And so the USDA recommends 20 to 25 grams of fiber per day, but really we need, as women, 30 to 35, for men, 35 to 40 grams of fiber per day to really hone in on our best health. And you just hit it right there. Beans are a great way to go.
You know, if you're eating a cup of beans, whole grains, greens, and tubers every day, you don't have to count your grams of fiber. You're going to get enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I start my day every day, by the way, with a Sardinian minestrone, which I have about 2 feet over there. In fact, I'll show it to you.
Let's see it. Let's see it. Bring it on. I remember that you were drinking this the other day when you were on IGTV, and I thought, okay, no, that's so interesting, because of course we're so conditioned in America. Oh, wow. Nice.
I have this going all the time.
Okay.
And I eat it for breakfast, and it's got 3 types of beans, potatoes, tomatoes, celery, carrots, onions, garlic. And
onions and garlic, all those alliums are really powerful and potent for our best health. So that definitely has got to help.
There's probably 20 strains of fiber. And the other thing you have to realize, we have 100 trillion cells, 100 trillion bacteria in our gut, and they like different kinds of fiber. There's maybe 1,000 species of bacteria, and they all like something slightly different. You know, one person likes vanilla ice cream and another one likes chocolate ice cream, the same with fiber, and same with the bacteria. So starting your day with a fiber cocktail like minestrone is about the best thing you can do for your body.
And you know, some of the comments are asking a great question, which is, well, what about the lectins? What about the digestibility? Sometimes people say beans are, you know, there's this, can you soak, and is soaking taking care of that? What is your take on lectins?
Yes. So
phytates.
You don't have to soak them, but you're better off soaking them. They're slightly healthier if you soak them. And I'm a big fan of starting with dry beans. They're cheap and they taste better. I mean, it literally takes you 5 seconds to pour a bag of beans in a pot bowl of water before you go to bed. I mean, it's not a big deal. You get an Instapot. You know, I don't work for Instapot, but I'm a big fan of Instapot. You put your beans in there and your other ingredients. It literally took me 10 minutes to put that soup together. Put the top on, I hit a button, I come back an hour later, I got food. I got 10 servings of food at under 50 cents a serving. I'll eat that all week long.
I need to get some Instapot tips from you then, because I have one and I'm still trying to figure out how the heck to use it.
Oh, I'm your man.
All right. I like it. And then for those who say, well, I want the ease of buying beans, obviously I'm going to recommend right there, make sure it's not canned, get boxed beans when you can or in glass jars. But if they are boxed, if they are already pre-made, is there anything we can do to cut down on the lectins, because they've been cooked already?
The lectins is a myth.
Okay.
if you're eating raw beans uncooked, you have a lectin issue. But as soon as you cook them for 10 minutes, the lectins are neutralized. I mean, it's the silliest thing in the world. The longest that people on 5 continents are eating they're eating a cup of beans every day for 100 years, and they have no lectin problem. Now, to the digestibility.
Are all the vitamins you're taking actually what your body needs, or are there others you should be taking but don't realize? What if your supplements got personal, like tailor-made for your individual needs? See, I got totally fed up with buying a mishmash of random vitamins and other supplements I just assumed I might need because other people or social media influencers said I needed them. One size fits all doesn't work for anyone when it comes to what's best for our unique biology. So I got really excited when I found a simple tool backed by complex science and powered by a sophisticated algorithm that allows me to get personalized nutrition recommendations. It's called Meology, and it delivers these recommendations precisely for you, not people like you, for you, with more precision, more power, more patents, and more proof than any of the competition. Want to take the quick health assessment to see your personalized recommendations? It's free. Just go to tinyurl.com/healthquizfromSamantha. and take it for free. That's tinyurl.com/healthquiz from Samantha. Before cancer and sitting in the makeup chair every day for my TV shoots, I had no idea how many carcinogens, endocrine disruptors, and neurotoxins were lurking in the beauty products being used on my face and body. And same with my at-home routine. After cancer and tons of research and vetting products and brands, I finally discovered one that became my absolute favorite. And it gives me the look and staying power I need without the toxic junk. Now I want to share it with you. It's called Crunchy, and they've set a new standard for cosmetic safety and are redefining the beauty industry where high performance, product safety, and sustainability meet for unprecedented cosmetic results. You no longer have to compromise your beauty for your health or your health for your beauty. Just visit crunchy.com/Samantha Harris. That's crunchy with an I, crunchy.com/Samantha Harris.
Now, to the digestibility, there is a bit of an issue. You need to train your microbiome. So if you're eating meat, cheese, and eggs all the time, the type of bacteria that thrive in your gut are ones that are going to help metabolize those foods. So if you start literally with a couple tablespoons of beans a day and work up over the course of 2 weeks to a cup of beans, your microbiome is going to adapt and you're not going to have, you know, the problems that everybody makes fun of.
Right. And someone was just commenting that sometimes the beans spike her glucose too much. Any tips there?
That's odd because you're way more likely to spike your glucose with rice or pancakes or cereal than you are. Beans actually are known for very slow release of their sugars.
Right.
In fact, they tend to, a cup of beans for breakfast will lower your glycemic load or your index for the entire morning. So I know people have peculiarities in their systems, but I wouldn't say that beans are a glucose spiking food.
So I'm going to make one more comment on beans, and then we want to get back to the other. I'll talk all day about beans too. So one more comment, which is that there have been studies that have also shown that by having a half cup of beans or a cup of beans in a meal actually also satiates you and fills you up to carry you through to the next meal, and you end up having better weight maintenance and lower blood sugar levels. So beans are a way to go. Let's jump into the other nine pillars we have, because so eating, but staying with the food pillar right now, plant-based, I'm assuming lots of greens, leafy greens, green vegetables, raw vegetables.
Yes. I'm a big fan of fruit, keeping a bowl of fruit in your kitchen. So that is the food that tempts you when you walk through. What they drink, 6 glasses of water a day, teas of all sort. Good news for most of us, coffee is a most Blue Zones diet, a big source of antioxidants and apparently associated with lower rates of Parkinson's and lower rates of diabetes.
But then also, with the coffee, sorry, caveat with the coffee is it's not the go down to your local cafe.
No, it's not the macchiato.
Sugar loaded from Dunkin'. Okay, right. Okay. And then the
last coffee, maybe a splash of oat milk in there or something like that.
Perfect.
I would say it's one of the few indulgences in life that you can enjoy with impunity.
I like that. Now, you also mentioned wine, and I find that it's interesting because there's sort of different conflicting data. As a breast cancer survivor, and also I'm an ambassador for, national ambassador for Susan G. Komen, you know, they say more than 3 to 4 glasses of wine or alcohol a week can increase your risk of breast cancer. But we do see these cultures in the Blue Zones who are consuming probably a daily glass of wine?
Yeah, or up to 3.
And how does that affect their cancer risk?
I don't know. I just know that they drink wine every day and they reach age 100 at higher rates than anybody else. I mean, there are other studies that show that overall mortality drops with a couple glasses of wine a day. It just depends how the study is conducted. I mean, maybe if you're a woman, your chance of breast cancers goes up if you're drinking a glass a day, but your chance of heart disease may be going down because certain red wines are good for your arteries.
Well, and also the studies, I don't know how much they control for eating a plant-based whole foods diet like these societies do. And so maybe that counteracts the negative effects.
Or that's a good point. So. If you're having a glass of wine with a plant-based meal, you're about quadrupling the flavonoid absorption. Mm. So if the studies are done with big meat eaters, it probably isn't accounting for that effect. I say if you're don't have a problem with alcohol and you enjoy a glass or two of alcohol a day, because at the end of the day, it's not just about trying to make it to 100, it's enjoying the journey.
Yeah, right.
And well, I think it's going to be very hard to find a study that shows that a glass or two of wine a day is bad for your health.
Well, and I think that too brings us what you mentioned just in terms of it, that maybe that wine gives them that enjoyment to enjoy their life. And that brings us to the nine pillars again. What are the nine pillars? We've got the whole food plant-based diet. And these are sort of boxes that you guys can check. And I want to investigate that a little further in a second. But these are sort of those boxes you can check to say, okay, how do the people in the blue zones live their life in general? So they're eating that whole food plant-based diet. They might be drinking a little wine. They may have a little fish here and there. And what else?
Do you feel like you often put yourself at the bottom of the to-do list? Or self-care just barely means a hot bath, perhaps an occasional workout, or maybe a chair massage at the mall? How does this sound instead? Let's meet up for 4 days at a blissful sanctuary surrounded by stunning red rock mountains. It's perfect for those craving a break from the chaos of everyday life to get you back on the road to your healthiest healthy yet. And while we're together, you'll get personal coaching from me. We'll grab some epic hikes for all levels, eat delicious healthy meals together. You'll get pampered at the spa, enjoy yoga and invigorating fitness classes, all included at a spectacular resort in Utah. It's the wellness retreat you've been waiting for, but just haven't yet taken the time to gift yourself. It's transformational, restorative, and so much fun. So join me. It's my exclusive Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat, Utah, this October. I have limited spots for this ladies-only small group wellness getaway, so hurry and visit tinyurl.com/YHHretreats. Because it's the Your Healthiest Healthy Retreat. So that's tinyurl.com/YHHretreats. See you there.
Well, they're not exercising, which shocks people. You don't see people doing CrossFit or training for marathons, but they live in places that every time they go to work or a friend's house or out to eat, it occasions a walk. Mm-hmm. They have gardens out back, so they're spending a little time with low intensity physical activity every day. Their houses aren't full of mechanical conveniences, so they're doing a lot of housework by hand and yard work by hand. The bottom line is they're moving every 20 minutes or so, keeping their metabolism high all day long and probably burning a lot more calories over the course of a day than you would spending 30 minutes in a gym, which most people don't do anyway. They tend to belong to a faith, doesn't matter which faith, but showing up to a church, temple, or mosque is worth 4 to 14 extra years of life expectancy over not showing up at all. Putting family first, keeping aging parents nearby, investing in a spouse and investing in your children. You see that through all blue zones, as opposed to being career focused or, you know, following my passion, so to speak. Family tends to be very high in the passion list. They have time every day when they're downshifting. They're releasing that stress from the human condition. The Adventists pray before each meal at the beginning of the day. The Okinawans have ancestor venerations where they're spending some time remembering their ancestors and to a certain extent, relinquishing their day to the oversight of their ancestors. The Costa Ricans and Icarians take a nap every day, which we know is associated with lower rates of heart disease. And then the Sardinians just do happy hour, which Then we're back to wine again.
It all comes back to the wine. So that makes a lot of sense. And then connection as well, which I know you already touched on family, but having those connections, right, is another pillar, being able to have people you can
count on. I call it right tribe. Mm. We know that so many health behaviors are contagious. Drinking, drug use, alcoholism, loneliness, unhappiness, they're all measurably contagious. So in blue zones, you see very clearly people tend to run in pods. In Okinawa, they're called moais, but committed circle of friends that tend to reinforce these healthy habits. They're eating plant-based, they're doing their daily walk, they're in the gardens, they have a sense of faith and a sense of purpose. So translating that to our lives in America, where we don't necessarily fall into a pod, curating that immediate social network, that four or five people who we're spending a lot of time with, who we have meaningful conversations with, who we count on a bad day, that is so important. So if you're hanging out with the type of people who are bellied up to a bar and sit around a bitch or drink too much, or they're out back barbecuing hot dogs every night or watching TV, guess what you're more likely to be doing? As opposed to finding friends like you who are jazzed about life, intellectually curious, stay fit, commit to family, eat healthy, eat plant-based. That's all plant-based. So to people listening there, if you want to get healthy and live to 100, your best bet is to make friends with Samantha.
I'm all for it. You guys DM me. Seriously, DM me anytime. I want to ask you a question about that. So with those 3 to 4 friends who you want to be able to count on, to be able to check that lovely 9 pillars box, can spouse, parent, sibling be part of that? Or we're talking about outside the family unit?
No, it can be that.
Okay.
It can be a child or a parent or a sibling, absolutely.
I always wonder that, because I'm so tight with family, and I'm always jealous of like my sister, who's got this amazing group of big girlfriends who she can always count on. And I have lots of friends, but I don't have that huge group of people because I'm so tight with the family. And I wondered, can I still check that box? So I can check that box.
Score. You know what, Samantha? I believe most people talk about their 150 friends. You can bet they're probably not that tight. Mm. I think this a handful, 5 or 6 people, really.
Okay, that's a good thing to know. And then the other thing is life purpose, right? Being able to write your life's purpose sort of in 1 or 2 sentences on a piece of paper is another part of that?
Yes. So in Okinawa, they call it ikigai. In Costa Rica, it's plan de vida. But it's the cross-section of your values, your passions, what you're good at, what you like to do on a daily basis, and a thing that you have an outlet for. And a minority of Americans have that outlet at their work. A majority of people don't. So if it's not at your work, it's finding another place to put that purpose to work. Because you can hold purpose in all day long. It doesn't do you a heck of a lot of good. It's when you're out engaging in service or making other people's lives better. That's when purpose, I think, really sails and really adds that extra life expectancy.
Absolutely. Are there any other pillars we haven't touched on? I feel like we hit most of them.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, in Okinawa, we learned this 2,500-year-old dietary strategy summed up in 3 words, hara hachi bu, which means roughly stop eating when your stomach is 80% full. Hmm. And we apply that to America's life in a lot of different ways. Number one, we're sort of marketed all day long, every day of the year, that better health lies in some sort of an additive food, some power bar, some power drink, some nutrient powders, some supplements, some enriched cereal. But the reality is, the Americans, we're consuming about 500 more calories per day than we ought to be eating. So the first step we ought to be looking at is to engineer calories out of our everyday life and then get smarter about those calories. So there's a number of ways we help people mindlessly consume less food. First of all, if you trade out your 12-inch plates for 10-inch plates, you psychologically are more satiated more quickly. Pre-plating your food and then putting the leftovers away before the meal rather than letting it sit in big platters on the table. You know, I'm on what I call jokingly a seafood diet. I eat food I see. If there's no food in front of me to see, I don't eat it.
I'm like that with a plate of French fries on any given day.
Yes, it's very hard. So even saying grace, I remember you used to do that when you were a kid, saved a few moments to give thankfulness for the food. That actually works. That little punctuation between our monkey brain lives and sitting and eating intentionally. Mm. Eating intentionally, we tend to eat more slowly. Better chance that our full stomachs will tend to signal to our brain to, you got enough. If you eat too fast, you could be 20% over capacity and not even realize it until you get up and try to do something after dinner.
Right, that mindful eating really, it is. It's a huge thing. And we so oftentimes are eating in front of the TV or eating in front of our work computers or, you know, not really mindlessly eating versus sitting down. And even just, I find too, even just taking a microsecond to look at the food that I'm about to eat. And some people are like, oh, that's a little woo-woo, but to say thank you, like thank you for the fact that I'm going to put all this nourishment. Obviously, this is not if you're someone who's sitting down to, you know, a fast food burger and fries, but if you're sitting down to a robust, colorful salad, you know, with some great healthy fat in there, some avocados, and you say, or your bowl of morning minestrone, and to be able to say thank you for this amazing nourishment I'm about to receive, because it's giving you, whether you're religious or not, it's giving you so much, and you have that appreciation, that gratefulness in that mindful moment.
I totally agree.
I love that. I love that. So when you talk about the Power Nine, those kind of those check boxes of the blue zones, I remember when I was studying to be a certified health coach and we were learning about the blue zones, one thing that I found was so interesting was that depending on how many of those boxes you could check, there were some scientific data that showed, okay, if you have 7 to 9 of the 9 checked, you're going to live to, you know, your average life expectancy is, and I'm throwing it out there, so I want you to correct me on the correct ones, to 90 with 3 years of morbidity. And then if you have only 5 checked, you live to only 70 with, you know, 7 years of morbidity. Can you just walk us through that a little bit? Because I find it fascinating.
Well, it's very hard to pull them apart because these elements all kind of create a mutually supporting web. So people are eating wisely at whole food, plant-based, and they're moving naturally, partially because their life is underpinned with purpose. They surrounded themselves by the right tribe, the right people that help them do these things. And then they live in places where the healthy choice is the easy choice. So I think the mistake we make is to try to separate our diets from our social network or our physical activity from our spouses or our social connectivity, or somehow decouple purpose from how we move and how we eat. It all works together as a synergistic cluster of factors. And to pull one out and try to attribute life expectancy to that is probably misleading.
Okay, interesting. Only because that was something we had learned about. So perhaps it's changed and shifted since then. But the bottom line.
Okay, to kind of answer your question in a slightly different way. The average American is losing out on 12 to 14 years of life expectancy because of our lifestyle.
Okay.
So the maximum average life expectancy of the human species with an average set of genes living in the first world, i.e. America, is about 93 or 94, men a year or two less. But life expectancy right now is about 80. So we're leaving 13, 14 years on the table. Probably the best way to recapture those years is to focus on our diet. The easiest thing to do you don't have to count grams of fiber, calories, eat a whole food, plant-based diet with a little or no sugar. That there's some fine tuning around the edges, but that's about 90% of the answer right there.
No, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. Continue.
Well, that's probably worth 6 or 7 of those years that we're losing. Most of the years we're losing in America is because of the way we eat. Secondarily, it's our inactivity. And the number of miles we drive every year has about doubled since the 90s. So even more so, we're getting into our cars when we should be getting out from behind our steering wheels and onto our feet. And about the best thing we can do to remedy that is move to a neighborhood where our favorite coffee shop, grocery store, church, friend's house, park, work is all within walking distance. Better than any gym, CrossFit, yoga, all that other crap combined. Live in a walkable neighborhood and you don't have to think about it. That gets you about 90% of the training of preparing for a marathon. Not 100%, but it gets you really close.
I love that because we are in such a world where it's, I mean, and the people who are watching are going, Samantha, you are the one who exercises every day like crazy. I not like crazy, but I do. But we are in a world where it's so much focused on get to the gym, get that workout and fit it in and get it done and go hard and go as hard as you got to go. And then, you know, until you're about to feel like you're going to pass out and then you've done enough exercise. And that's really not for longevity what we're really looking for. I enjoy, we also have different bodies. My body type, and I've done this through different testing, my body type actually is more of the athletic, like pro athlete body that needs and wants and thrives on a lot of exercise. So, but I love it. I enjoy it. And it brings me happiness and it brings me.
You have a lot of energy you need to burn, Samantha. I can feel it on this side of the computer. I can nearly warm my hands to your energy.
And I'll tell you, when I switched to a plant-based diet after my cancer diagnosis back in 2014, my energy, where I used to have the 3 p.m. slump and then the 7 or 8 p.m. slump, I now, my energy goes wall to wall because of how I'm nourishing my body. And it's an amazing difference.
Yeah, because you're evening things out. You eat a bunch of meat, your body is going to spend a lot of energy to metabolize it. And then you'll come out of it in 2 or 3 hours, you'll have a burst of energy. Conversely, if you eat a bowl of cornflakes or some kind of a quote unquote energy bar, your sugar is going to spike. And then an hour later, you're going to be in the doldrums for 2 or 3 hours, then come back out of it.
Right.
So if you're eating whole food, plant-based, if you're starting day with oatmeal or some good whole wheat bread and peanut butter or the Dan Buettner minestrone, you're going to be even keel. All that energy is just going to be a blowtorch all day long, a steady flame.
I love that. I love that. And I know too, that we were talking about, you know, the power nine, but you have sort of, you've narrowed things down to sort of the basic four pillars of the Blue Zones: plants, purpose, pedestrian, people. I feel like we've touched on a lot of those, but is there anything else in that area that we maybe missed that you want to talk about?
Well, the overarching, and you said it at the beginning, don't try to change your behavior because you'll fail. You'll succeed. A handful of people will succeed in the short run, but almost everybody fails almost all the time when they try to change their behavior and swim upstream from their environment or upstream from what everybody else around them is doing them. If you want to live longer, feel healthier today, change your environment. And the secret is changing your environment so that healthy choice is the easy choice.
And that means surrounding yourself by positive people who have behaviors that are already in a healthy place, whether, like you said, they're exercising or walking regularly, they're eating healthfully, they're maybe having a glass or two of wine, but they're not out at the bars binging all night. Then also being in a place that allows that, right? A place where you have access to, maybe it's bike paths or walking paths, and being in a town where you can walk to your local coffee shop. And then we talk about the people you're surrounding yourselves, and then eating the plants, and then having that purpose, having that meaning of life, essentially.
Yes. So if you want to know exactly how to do it, you can go to Amazon right now. I have a book coming out in December called The Blue Zone Challenge.
Oh.
And over the past 10 years, my team and I have aggregated all the evidence-based nudges that you can set up in your life. So, i.e. changing your surroundings in your kitchen, your bedroom, your home, with your social life, your work life, either to point of purpose, kind of your internal life. These are evidence-based ways. You take a few minutes or hours now, you set it up and you can forget about it. That's what works, because we all have limited amounts of attention, limited amounts of discipline, focus of mind, and we're going to wear out. If you set up your surroundings the right way so that healthy choice is unavoidable, you're set up for decades.
I love it. You're incredible. I know we've already taken up so much of your day. Are there any last thoughts or any last, I know we've, by the way, hi to everybody who's been saying that from New York, hello, and Canada. And I think JoJo was saying hello. Hello, JoJo. She's been awesomely doing a lot of messaging and commenting. So I want to make sure we hit those people who've been so awesome and listening the last 45 minutes.
I would say the most important thing to do is to do an inventory of your social network, your four or five people who you spend the most time with. And I wouldn't necessarily tell you to dump your old unhealthy friends, but I will say that adding a few people like you, people's idea of recreation is playing tennis or walking or bowling, people who you can have a meaningful conversation with, who will care about you on a bad day, people who challenge you intellectually. And it wouldn't hurt to have a vegetarian or vegan in your immediate social network, because they'll do more than anything, any diet, in getting you eating plant-based. Because when you're with them, you're going to have to be at a place where they serve good plant-based food. You're going to have to serve good plant-based food, or you're going to be over to their house learning what good plant-based food tastes like. So that's probably the biggest thing, easiest thing you can do for the long run. If people have any questions, I'm really good at answering on direct message. My handle is at Dan Buettner, and I'd be happily answer questions. I'd love to stay in touch with you, and I'm delighted to spend time with a fellow Minnesotan.
Yes,
you're one of the people who made it big out there, so we got your eye on you.
I appreciate that. And you guys also do check out right now the Blue Zones Kitchen, 100 Recipes to Help You Live to 100 is already out. I'll make sure in the show notes to put all the different ways that you can get in touch with Dan, direct messaging him on Instagram, going to his Blue Zones website, and all of those great things. I appreciate you so much, and thank you for being part of your Healthiest Healthy community. This podcast and all related content published or distributed by or on behalf of Samantha Harris, The King's Daughter, Inc., yourhealthiesthealthy.com or samantha-harris.com, and its signatories, all known as company, is for informational purposes only and may include information that is general in nature and that is not specific to you. Any information or opinions provided by guest experts or hosts featured within a website or on this episode of Your Healthiest Healthy podcast with Samantha Harris are their own, not those of Samantha Harris or the company. Accordingly, Samantha Harris and the company cannot be responsible for any results or consequences or actions you may take based on such information or opinions. This podcast is presented for exploratory purposes only. Published content is not intended to be used for preventing, diagnosing, or treating a specific illness. If you have or suspect you may have a healthcare emergency, please contact a qualified healthcare professional for treatment. Thank you.